نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. سورة الأحقاف. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حاميم. تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم. حاميم. The revelation of the book is from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise. ما خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إلا بالحق وأجل مسمى. We did not create the heavens and the earth and all that is between them except with truth and for an appointed term. Now we learn two things from this ayat. One, that we're here for a purpose. We've got a deeper meaning to this life. It's not just that we grow up and we live our lives and we have our jobs and we pursue our education and we die at the end of the day and that's it. No, there is a deeper meaning to this life. And what is that? To worship Allah, to obey Allah, to live our life, but in accordance with Allah's command. What's the second thing we learn from this ayat? Ajalim musamma. No one's been given unlimited time. No one's been given till eternity to obey Allah. No. Some have been given 20, some 30, some 40, maximum 80, 90 years of this life, 90 years in which to turn to Allah, and then we have to return to Him and answer to Him. How we spent our wealth, how we spent our youth, how we spent our time and our lives. Are we prepared for these questions? Have we thought up what answers we're going to give? Have we got some deeds that will suffice us on that day? But those who disbelieve, turn away from that whereof they are warned. Say to them, think about all that you call to besides Allah. Think of all the peers and all these buzurgs that you made into false gods. Show me, ماذا خلقوا من الأرض? What have they created in the earth? Or do they have a share in the creation of the heavens? Bring me a book before this, or some trace of knowledge. إن كنتم صادقين, if you are truthful. See, in the Quran again and again Allah tells us that only Allah is answering our du'as. We are taught, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we turn to in hell. For you alone do we pray to. But nowhere do we find Allah is telling us that if you pray to the dead, they can answer your du'a. Or if you pray to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is answering your du'a. Or to Hazrat Ali, or to any other human being, or jinn, or angel. What are we taught? That only Allah answers du'as. So here Allah says, these people who've invented these mushrikana rituals, ask them, where do they have the proof of all this? And who is more strange than one who calls on besides Allah, مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, such as will not even answer him till the day of judgment. Forget listening to, they can't even respond. وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَائِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ, they are even unaware of the calls made to them. They can't even hear the du'as that we are so assiduously sending to them. وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسِ كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً, and when mankind are gathered, these false deities will become their enemies and they will deny their worship. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah told us that Allah will ask Isa alayhi salam, O Isa, was it you who told people that make you and your mother into gods? And he will say, Subhanaka, glory be to you. It was not for me to say that of which I had no knowledge. If I had said it, you would have known it. So on the day of judgment, Allah will ask these people, the people who were prayed to, the scholars, the saints, anyone whom someone else prayed to after he was dead, and Allah will say, did you tell them this? And why will Allah ask them this question? So that those who fell into this error will be able to hear for themselves that their false gods are denying this worship. The prophets, the scholars, the saints will cry out in horror, Subhanallah, it was not for us to tell people to do such a thing. وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ, they'll say, Allah, we didn't even know that they were doing all this. And when our clear verses are recited to them, the disbelievers say of the truth when it reaches them, this is plain magic. Or do they say, he has fabricated it. Say, if I have fabricated it, still you have no power to support me against Allah. He knows best of what you say among yourselves concerning it. كَفَى بِهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ, sufficient is he as a witness between me and you, and he is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. Say to them, I am not amusing among the messengers, nor do I know what will be done with me or with you. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ilmul ghaib, why then was he being told this? And what is he being told to say? That I do not know what will be done with me or with you. I only follow that which is revealed to me, and I am but a plain warner. He did not even know what was going to happen to himself. And the message is that he did not have ilmul ghaib. And if he did not have ilmul ghaib, how can anyone else have it? Ilmul ghaib, knowledge of the unseen, rests only with Allah. Say, tell me if this Quran is from Allah, and you deny it. And a witness from among the children of Israel testifies that this Quran is from Allah, and he believed while you are proud. Indeed, Allah does not guide the people who are wrongdoers. The Jews were being told this, and the pagans, the Arabs, were being told this, that if you're stubbornly bent on rejecting this Quran, although someone from amongst the Jews has affirmed the truth. Who was this someone? Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu anhu, a Jew who accepted Islam. Again and again, Allah cites his example. And those who disbelieve, say of those who believe, had it been a good thing, these people would not have preceded us thereto. The elite of Quraysh is to scornfully say, if there had been any truth in this Quran, we would have accepted it. We would have realized it before these slaves like Bilal and Ammar realized it. It's just a case of sour grapes. Because they weren't interested in accepting it, they wanted to criticize it. And when they do not let themselves be guided by it, فَسَيَقُولُونَ هَذَا إِفْكٌ قَدِيمٌ, they say, this is an ancient lie. Because they don't want to accept it, so they like to blame the Quran. وَمِنْ قَبْلِهِ كِتَابُ مُوسَى, and before this was the scripture of Musa, as a guide and a mercy. And this is a confirming book in the Arabic language. لِيُنْذِرَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ, to warn those who do wrong and to give good news to those who do ihsan. Now we can decide whether we want this Quran to contain good news for us or to be a warning. Now who are the muhsinin? Allah tells us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Indeed, those who say, our Lord is Allah, then they stand firm. Rabbuna, what is Rabb? Simply one who creates? No. One who creates, one who nurtures, one who nourishes, one who sustains. When I say that my Lord, my Rabb is Allah, I mean that since Allah is feeding me, since Allah is clothing me, since Allah is giving me to drink, Allah is providing for my spiritual guidance as well. And if I'm getting everything in this world from Allah, it's Allah that I will obey. And that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. To obey Allah above all, to love Allah above all, and to fear Allah above all. Those who say our Lord is Allah, not my friends, not my society, not my spouse, my parents, my children, no, they'll just tear me apart. Rabbun Allah, one God and one God alone. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, then they become firm, like rocks. They don't budge, they don't compromise, and they don't apologize. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Freed from all tension, true spiritual liberation. Such shall be the dwellers of paradise, living therein forever. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, a reward for what they used to do. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا, and we have enjoined on man to be dutiful to his parents. This word ihsan means that even if your parents are being unjust to you, you are good to them. His mother bears him with hardship and she delivers him with hardship. See Allah's tenderness towards women. Again and again Allah repeats about the difficulties a woman has in pregnancy and in raising the child. And the bearing of him and the weaning of him is 30 months. This is the maximum period. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ, until when he attains his full strength and he reaches 40 years, قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَى وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. People with disobedient children should read this dua. What is this dua? O my Rabb, grant me the power that I may thank you for your favor which you have bestowed upon me and upon my parents, and that I may do good deeds such as please you and make my children good. It's a beautiful jamia dua. Look at the way it starts. Oh Allah, grant me the ability to thank you. As Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, I think it was, who once said that how can I thank Allah for any of His blessings when even this desire of gratitude is a blessing from Allah. When you feel that love within you, search for Allah and you want to thank Him, you want to do something from Him, even that is a blessing from Allah. So this is the vision of the mu'min. He recognizes that any tawfiq he's getting for any goodness is coming from Allah, not due to any merit on his own part. So he says, Rabbi, my Lord, my Creator, look at the bond between him and Allah. Grant me the chance that I may thank you for your favor which you have bestowed upon me and upon my parents, and that I may good deeds such as please you. See, we have such a limited concept of deen. We want to please Allah the way we wish. We want to obey Allah the way we want to obey Allah. And we say, no, Allah should be pleased with that. No, Allah, grant me the chance to do deeds which will please you. It's what you think that counts, not my own perceptions. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. And rectify my children. Make my children good. See, this dua is especially beautiful because this man is reading it. This person is reading it at the age of 40, at a stage when he can fully appreciate his parents, because he has reached that stage now. Inni tubtu ilayk, I have turned to you in repentance. Wa inni min al-muslimin, and I am one of those who submit. They are those from whom we shall accept the best of their deeds and overlook their evil deeds. They're human beings, they make mistakes, but because of this dua, because of the feelings within them, and because they acted upon those feelings, it wasn't just a hypocritical word. Allah says, we shall accept the best of their deeds and we shall overlook their evil deeds. Fi ashabil jannah, among the dwellers of paradise, a promise of truth which they have been promised. Now this is one scenario. And at the other end of the spectrum, we find another child, another person talking to his parents. Now this is not someone who is a small child. This is someone who has reached maturity, someone who's reached youth, an age where he can think for himself. But he who says to his parents, Uffin lakuma, fie upon you both, do you hold out the promise to me that I shall be raised up again when generations before me have passed away? Someone who's arguing with his parents, and to make matters worse, he's arguing about Allah. While they, father and mother, call to Allah for help and say to their son, woe to you, believe, inna wa'adallahi haqq, truly the promise of Allah is true. But he says, this is nothing but the tales of the ancient people. Now Allah is teaching us something here, that it's not enough that we're just concerned about our own spiritual welfare. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your families. So the parents haven't just said, well, what can we do with him? We did our best. No, they're trying to explain to him, believe, believe, the promise of Allah is true. And when the parents make a sincere effort, then they will not be punished for the child's mistaken concept. They are those against whom the word of torment is justified among the previous generations of mankind and jinn that had passed away. Innahum kanu khasirin. They are the true losers. وَلِكُلِّنْ دَرَجَاتٌ مِّمَّا عَمِلُوا وَلِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And for all, there will be degrees according to which they did. When we were in school and we received our report, what grade does everyone want? Whether you've worked for it or not, you want an A grade. What grade do we want in the hereafter? We find there will be the Muslim, the one who submitted to Allah and obeyed Allah, and he did the bare minimum. Then we find there will be the mu'min, and that's the highest stage. The one who internalized all his actions, who had true iman, love for Allah. And then we find there will be the muhsin, the one who worshipped Allah as if he could see Allah. Everything he did was the best. Every salat, every zakat he paid, every sadaqah he gave. He wanted to be from the sabiqoon. Who are the sabiqoon? والسابقون السابقون أولئك الأولون. They are the ones who will come first. As we read that there are three kinds of people who read the Quran. منهم ظالم لنفسه, one who wrongs himself, he listens to it but he doesn't act upon it. منهم مقتصد, one who is moderate, some of the time he's obeying and some of the time he's not obeying. ومنهم سابق بالخيرات, one who's racing ahead, doesn't stop, doesn't wait to think. Any good deed that comes his way, he does it eagerly, instantly. Allah says, for everyone will be degrees according to that which they did. Not that we'll all be put in the same jannah and told you all said la ilaha illallah. So those of you who read tahajjud and those of you who didn't even bother to pray all together, no. Everyone will have degrees according to that which they did. Not which they said or spoke or lectured, that which they did. That he may recompense them in full for their deeds. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ They will not be wronged. On the day when those who disbelieve will be exposed to the fire, it will be said to them, you received your good things in the life of this world, and you took your pleasure therein. Now this day you shall be recompensed with the torment of humiliation, because you were arrogant in the land, without any right, and because you used to disobey Allah. People say, well, it's not fair that just because someone doesn't believe in Allah, that he should be thrown into hellfire, and they do such other good deeds, and they serve mankind, and they're such great philanthropists. See, here's the answer to that question, that if someone is disobeying Allah, or someone disbelieves in Allah, rejects Allah, but he does many other good deeds, then he is repaid for them in this world. He is recompensed for them in this world, and there will be nothing for him in the hereafter. Does that seem unfair? It's only right that since he didn't do these good deeds to please Allah, why should Allah reward him? He did these good deeds to serve humanity, so Allah will reward him for that in this world. And this day you shall be recompensed with the torment of humiliation, because you were arrogant in the land, without any right, and because you used to rebel against Allah's command. And remember Hud, the brother of Ad, when he warned his people in the curved sand hills, and surely they have passed away, warners before him and after him, saying, worship none but Allah. Truly I fear for you the torment of a mighty day. They said, have you come to turn us away from our gods? Then bring us that with which you threaten us, if you are of the truthful. قَالَ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ He said, the knowledge of its time is with Allah alone. And I convey to you that wherewith I have been sent. وَلَكِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ قَوْمًا تَجْهَلُونَ But I see that you are a people given to ignorance. Then when they saw it is a dense cloud coming towards their valleys, they said, this is a cloud bringing us rain. No, it is that torment which you were asking to be hastened. A wind, wherein is a painful torment, destroying everything by the command of its Lord. So they became such that nothing could be seen except their dwellings. Thus do we recompense the people who are criminals. And indeed, we had firmly established them with that wherewith we have not established you, O Quraysh. And we had given them ears, eyes, and hearts. But their ears, eyes, and their hearts did not help them, since they used to deny the signs of Allah. And they were completely encircled by that which they used to mock at. If our eyes are not observing the truth, if our ears are not absorbing the truth, if our mouths are not speaking the truth, then these faculties have not helped us. And indeed, we have destroyed towns about you, and we have repeatedly shown them the signs in various ways in order that they might return. Then why did those whom they had taken for gods besides Allah as a way of approach to Allah not help them? Why didn't their so-called gods and their so-called deities help them? No, but they vanished completely from them, and that was their lie and their invention which they had been inventing. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا Remember when we sent towards you a group of the jinn, quietly listening to the Qur'an. When they stood in the presence thereof, they said, listen in silence. And when it was finished, they returned to their people as warners. Now what an amazing occurrence this must have been. And the Prophet ﷺ being told that a group of jinn was quietly listening to you. And then when they returned to their people, they became Muslims, because jinns too have been given free will. Do we know the occasion upon which these jinn were listening to the Prophet ﷺ? It's a very sad incident in the Prophet ﷺ's life. It happened in Aam al-Huzn, the year of grief, the year he lost Abu Talib, the year he lost Hazrat Khadija, his greatest supporter. What happened was that since the Meccans were determinedly persecuting him, opposing him, he decided to seek help from the people of Taif, a hillside town. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam set out on foot to Taif, 70 miles to the south, went off with Zayd bin Haris, his adopted son. He had arrived safely in Taif and had secured a meeting with the elders. They sat on cushions, nibbling sweets. He asked to be taken in and to be allowed to preach. He stood up and put on their true natures, rocks and stones. They let loose a mob of innocents, children without reason, screaming and cheering, joyful in cruelty, to stone the prophet of God back into the desert. He would fold his arms around himself to ward off the stone. Blood dripped from his body. When he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would fall, they would force him to rise. That day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, was the worst day in his life. Finally, he sought refuge in a nearby plantation and he prayed. Do you know what dua he prayed at that time? One of the most beautiful duas. Allahumma ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani 'ala an-nas. O Allah, to you I complain of my weakness and lack of resources and my humiliation before people. Ya arhamar rahimin, ila man takilni, O most merciful of those who show mercy, to whom have you entrusted me? Ila aduwwi yatajahhamuni, أَمْ إِلَىٰ قَرِيبٍ مَلَّكْتَهُ أَمْرِي, to a violent enemy or to a sympathetic friend? إِلْ لَمْ تَكُنْ سَاخِطًا عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي, if you are not angry with me, I do not care. غَيْرَ أَنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ أَوْسَعُ لِي, but that your well-being is better for me. أَعُوذُ بِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي أَضَاءَتْ لَهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَأَشْرَقَتْ لَهُ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالسَّلُحَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. I seek refuge in the light of your honored countenance, which has illuminated the heavens and the darkness, and rectifies the affairs of the world and the hereafter. أَنْ تُحِلَّ عَلَيَّ غَضَبَكَ وَتُنْزِلَ عَلَيَّ سَخَطَكَ, lest your anger should ever descend upon me. وَلَكَ الْعُبَّى حَتَّى تَرْضَى, and all efforts are for you until you are pleased. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِكَ, there is no power, there is no authority except by you. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, there is for you in the Prophet of Allah a beautiful example. The worst day of his life, being stoned by children. When he would fall, they'd force him to get up so they could stone him some more. Bleeding, tattered, tortured, he reached home and went to his widow's bed. Hazrat Khadija wasn't even alive to comfort him. And then Allah rewarded him. And Allah said, remember when we sent to you a group of the jinn. Now do you know that when he read this dua, Jibreel alayhi salam appeared and asked him, do you want Taif to be destroyed? Now what would we have said? Oh yes, definitely, immediately. And what did he say? No, I hope that one day from their progeny there will come a people who will worship none but Allah. And that's what happened. When the people of Taif finally accepted Islam, they were amongst the most steadfast in their Islam. So Allah rewarded him and Allah sent these jinn who were listening to the Quran. When they stood in the presence thereof, they said, listen in silence. And when it was finished, they returned to their people as warners. Alu ya qawmana, they said, O our people, indeed we have heard a book sent down after Musa, confirming what came before it. Yahdi ilal haqqi wa ila tariqin mustaqim, it guides to the truth and to the straight path. Ya qawmana, ajibu da'i Allah, wa aminu bihi, yaghfir lakum min dhunubikum. O our people, respond to Allah's caller. Why don't we respond? What keeps us back? And believe in him. He will forgive you of your sins and will save you from a painful torment. وَمَنْ لَا يُجِبْ دَعِيَ اللَّهِ, no, we are still not ready for the Quran. Whoever does not respond to Allah's caller, he cannot escape on earth. And there will be for him no protectors besides Allah. Such are in manifest error. Do they not see that Allah who created the heavens and the earth and was not wearied by their creation, is able to give life to the dead? Yes, he is surely able to do all things. And on the day when those who disbelieve will be exposed to the fire, it will be said to them, أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ, is this not the truth? They will say, بَلَا وَرَبِّنَا, yes, by our Lord. He will say, then taste the torment because you used to disbelieve. فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, therefore be patient as for the messengers of strong will, and do not be any haste about them on the day when they will see that which they are promised. It will be as if they had not stayed more than an hour in a single day. When we look back on our life, can we tell where all those minutes have flown? Our youth, our childhood, our adolescence, every minute. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. You're traveling on, inexorably, inevitably towards your Lord until you will meet Him. بَلَاغ. This is a clear message. فَهَلْ يُعْلَقُ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Shall any be destroyed except a disobedient people? Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alladhina kafaru wa saddu an sabilillahi adwalla a'malahum. Those who disbelieve and hinder from the path of Allah, He will render their deeds vain. But those who believe and do good deeds and believe in that which is sent down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for it is the truth from their Lord, He will expiate from them their sins and He will make good their state. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا اتَّبَعُوا الْبَاطِلِ. This is because those who disbelieve follow falsehood, while those who believe follow the truth from their Lord. Thus does Allah set forth for mankind their parables. Now how do we stop people from the path of Allah? There are different ways of doing that. In some countries we find that the Muslims are forcibly stopped from obeying Allah, from believing in Allah, as is happening before our very eyes. Then we find there's a way when the Muslims are oppressed as a deterrent. For instance, in places if a woman wears hijab, she can be imprisoned for that. Then there are other ways whereby we can hinder people from the path of Allah. And one way of doing that is by creating doubts in the minds of the Muslims. By creating false cults such as Munkari Hadith, who say, well, ahadith are not accurate. Then there are the Orientalists. Those who studied Islam thoroughly and who come up with plausible explanations, plausible distorted theories to distract us, to tempt us, to distort our perception of Islam. Allah says, people who are engaged in such tasks, أَضَلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. He's just wiped out their deeds, just deleted them completely. Why? Because those who disbelieve follow falsehood, while those who believe follow the truth from their Lord. Thus has Allah set forth for mankind their parables. So when you meet those who disbelieve, smite their necks, till when you have killed and wounded many of them, then bind a bond firmly on them. Then after is either the time for generosity or ransom, until the war lays down its burden. ذلك. Thus, وَلَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ لَمْ تَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ. If it had been Allah's will, He could certainly have punished them without you. But He does this in order to test some of you with others. وَالَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَلَنْ يُضِلَّ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Those who were killed in the path of Allah, He will never let their deeds be lost. Now we need to understand that the first purpose of jihad is not that we force everyone to become Muslims. No, we have been told, لا إكراه في الدين. There is no compulsion in religion. We are not allowed to force anyone to become a Muslim. What then is the purpose of jihad? To check oppression and to allow freedom of worship to prevail. That Muslims should be left free to worship Allah. And if someone is fighting to show his bravery, which is in the path of Allah, and he was told, so that the word of Allah, that is the uppermost. That is the true purpose of jihad. Not so that you gain land or territory or power or wealth, so that Allah's word is the uppermost. Now we find the general principle in this is that there is no lifelong imprisonment in Islam. Then is the time either for generosity or ransom them. See, we find that very few of the captives that the Muslims took were actually killed. It wasn't that the Muslims were having jihad so that they could wipe out all the disbelievers from the face of this earth. This was a totally wrong impression created by the Orientalists. For instance, we find in the Battle of Badr, out of 70 captives, only 2 were killed. And those 2 were Utba and Nazar bin Harith. People who were bitter enemies against Islam. In other words, people who were active agents against Islam. After the Battle of Uhud, only 1 poet was killed. On the occasion of Khaybar, 1 traitor was killed. In other words, only the active enemies of Islam were killed. If you look at the rules of jihad, you find that they are amazing. The Prophet ﷺ forbade the killing of women and children. He forbade unnecessary wanton destruction of crops. In some cases, we find Muslim rulers even forbade the killing of farmers because they're necessary for the economy of a country. then we find that no old people can be killed, no monks were allowed to be killed, no religious scholars were allowed to be killed. Now, if you compare that to the brutal carnage that is taking place in this world against our Muslim brethren, is there any comparison? And yet they brainwashed us into thinking that we are the terrorists. We are the ones who want to kill everyone shouting Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself taught us, istawsu bil asara khaira. In other words, be good to your captives. Don't torture them, don't persecute them, don't make life miserable for them. For instance, we find that one captive says that the Ansari Muslim who had housed me, they didn't dump them all in one room, leaving them to die like the rape camps and the slaughter camps. No, all the captives were distributed amongst the different Muslims. And this captive says that one Ansari Muslim who had housed me used to feed me roti, which was regarded as a delicacy by them, and eat dates himself. A pagan, a captive, and this was the treatment that was being meted out to them. In some occasions, we find the Prophet ﷺ said that those of the prisoners who can teach, they should teach 10 Muslim children and they will be freed, which shows us the emphasis in Islam upon education as well. We find that the food, medical aid, and care of the prisoners all rests upon the government. Allah says that if it had been Allah's will, He could have punished them without you, but He did this to test you. And those who are killed in the path of Allah, He will never let their deeds be lost. Remember in Surah Yasin, that man who was killed, what was said to him? قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ It was said to him, enter Jannah. It said that the first drop of the martyr's blood that spills, and his sins are forgiven and he's taken to Jannah. And remember the story that we heard the other day of this companion who was going to get married and this battle was going to take place. And he asked the Prophet ﷺ, should I delay my marriage till after the battle? And he said, no, and you can join us the next morning. And on the wedding night, the wife had a dream and she realized he was not going to come back. So when he was about to leave her, she clung to him weeping. And he comforted her and then he rushed out of the house. And when he fought in the battle, he was martyred. And his wife came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, O Prophet of Allah, he was in a state of impurity. And he said, I saw the angels washing him from the heavens, from trays of silver. And that man came to be known as Ghassilul Malaika, the one bathed by the angels. Layyubillallahu a'malahum. Allah will never waste their deeds. He will guide them and set right their state. وَيُدْخِلِهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ And He will admit them to paradise, which He has made known to them.